Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life. Blocks sold separately. Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I'm Brian, and we are a gay and geeky podcast about all things pop culture from a somewhat queer perspective. I have, going clockwise around, BJ here.
Who are you? Who is this?
I'm Brian.
What?
Who are you?
I don't know.
Aren't you Byron?
I just woke up in here. Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. He knows my name. He gets one wish.
We got Jeff over there.
How's it going?
Eric.
Hi.
Pat.
Hey, hey, hey.
So, yeah, this is us. Oral is off having adventures in somewhere land.
He's working.
Working.
Is that what it is? Oh, is he at the store? Oh.
The work land.
Oh, poor guy. So, that's us. And we're going to talk about all kinds of movies, TV, comics, books, you know, all the stuff we do. Spoiler alert, we will be talking about things that happen. And as best we can, we will try to avoid spoilers. But fair warning, if it's something you do not want to know about, you might want to skip ahead of a couple minutes, maybe half an hour, depending on what we're talking about. Good luck.
Just look at our summary and then don't listen to it.
When have we ever tried to avoid spoilers?
I was going to say,
when we don't want to spoil it ourselves.
We don't want to spoil it for each other.
That's the time we would.
The listeners, whatever. True.
So, as is our tradition, we're going to jump into some movies. If you do go back, is it one episode, I believe, or two episodes? We did do a little deep dive on The Shape of Water and The Greatest Showman. The Great Showman and The Disaster Artist.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so we did that during the New Year's Christmas break. Madeline is our little bulldog is chiming in on her displeasure at the Golden Globes
now. She's very obsessed with me for some reason. I don't know why.
But we will.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
We will be covering some new movies, and I have not seen it. Yeah, Madeline.
Right.
Some people here have seen Jumanji.
Yes,
I don't know why you turned and looked at me.
I know. Right. I like turning to my right. So Jumanji, I have not seen this reboot of the Jumanji series, starring Kevin Hart, Karen Gillan, The Rock, Jack Black.
Yes, that is the principal cast.
I thought was there a Joe Bro in there too? I think there's a Jonas in there.
Is there?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure there's a Jonas.
Nick Jonas is in it.
I believe you said it did very well.
Yeah, it's actually, I think like last weekend they did the box office results. By that point, it had actually outgrossed Justice League.
Which, not a very high bar at this point.
I mean, it's still good, but for a big blockbuster movie. Yeah. Justice League set a really low bar.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess the bigger accomplishment was that it dethroned Star Wars like 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
As a number one. And pretty much it kept it down because I think other movies have come out that have kind of pushed it further down.
Wow. That's all right.
So, yeah.
So I didn't see it. What did you guys think?
I think I'm the only one that's seen it.
I think
all
you're
right. BJ, what did you think of it?
It's a really pleasant surprise. There's a couple things they do that hark back to the original movie. They reference Robin Williams' character in it in a nice little throwback.
Aww.
It is the same jungle world that he was taken to when as a kid and grew up in.
Even though it's now a video game.
Even though it's now a video game, and there is a plot point that actually explains why the board game is now a video game.
Of course.
And just the way they did it. And the cool thing is that, like, I'm not a huge Kevin Hart fan, but that cast kind of, like, everybody works so well off of each other that it's kind of subdued. Everybody's bad parts of their comedy are subdued and everything else is uplifted. So it's a really good cast chemistry. And without spoiling anything, I really think everybody should see it. Especially if you were a fan of the original Jumanji.
I know early on in like the whole release of the photos, set photos, cast and everything, that people complained about Karen Gillan's uniform choice.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
I heard they pretty adeptly explain and address why she looks like that.
Yep.
And then,
well, she's an avatar, right? They're all avatars, yep. And they're not the actual people. Like, the actual actors that play them are, I don't even know who they are. They're like relative unknowns.
Yeah, they're all relative teenagers. Unknowns. Yeah,
and they're just not in it for very much, I think, right?
No. Okay.
Well, and the biggest swerve I saw from, obviously, like, I think the avatar for Jack Black is actually a blonde teenage girl.
See, everybody who's told me they've seen it, that's their favorite part.
Right.
Yeah.
He stole the show as that teenage girl reacting to the jungle, somewhat stereotypically, but, you know, whatever.
Jack Black in the jungle works every time.
Yeah. So that's cool. I don't think I've actually ever seen the original.
What?
I know. I'm sitting there thinking about it. Like,
I never saw the first two movies.
I know.
What?
I remember.
I liked the book.
Yeah, I remember reading the book or whatever as a kid, and that's it.
I'll go ahead and say this: it was from a book.
Yes,
I didn't know that.
It was from a kid's book, long time ago.
Watched the movie, was good with the movie, and never really thought twice about it.
Someday I'll have to check it out. So, other movie news. I think there's no other movies that we've seen that we haven't already discussed.
Well, BJ, what's your flame rating out of 5? Since we've done it for like every other movie since.
Yeah.
I'll give it a solid 4.
Wow.
It was that fun. It was 4. That fun and interesting.
4
so.
Alarm fire.
Yep.
So, movie news. Black Panther, I guess, is a very popular movie coming up. I'm not shocked by, but I guess it broke some presale record.
Come on, white people.
So, are they releasing the original 4-hour cut?
No.
I want them to.
On Blu-ray.
No, I don't think they'll do that.
And I'm fine with an intermission.
And as per the revolution, you will all be strapped to chairs and forced to watch it 6 times a day.
I want
to
see it. I'm excited. When does it come out? Soon, right?
February 16th.
Okay.
I heard the soundtrack's going to be amazing.
Kendrick Lamar is scoring it.
Yeah.
Doing the soundtrack or something.
And he's already put out one track, but they've announced the people that are going to be on the soundtrack, and it's...
What was the track that they put out, you know?
Oh, I can't remember what
it's
was called.
It's not All the Stars, is it? Because I just heard that, and it seemed like that wasn't...
Wait, I think that was the single track they
That's
put out
great.
So far.
I love that one.
The one used in the first trailer, I've been listening to that
Step
song.
Into the Spotlight?
Yep.
Oh,
it's called A Legend.
Run the Jewels?
Yes.
Yeah, but that song has been out for a bit. That was just what they used in the sound in the
trailer. Yeah, that's
just
what they used in the trailer, but I never heard it before.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so. After that trailer release, I actually went back and downloaded all 3 Run the Jewels albums.
Oh, wow.
And they're really good.
Is that the band that kept popping up on Colbert?
That I don't know. I don't watch.
Or had something. Sounds familiar, but
It's 2 rappers. They're New York based. They're really good.
I think they've done stuff with Colbert because I was like, Run the Jewels.
All the Stars was the first song. That's Kendrick Lamar with
SZA.
SZA?
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 The SZA and the RZA?
SZA.
Don't run with a pair of them.
CZA?
SZA.
I'm trying to see where the second one is. The third one to get released was King's Dead.
Ooh. Long Live the King. Oh, that's that other guy.
Hey, you know a movie I did see recently that has been out for a bit, but I finally saw it? Split.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's really good.
Yeah, you liked really that. Good. See, that's a very divisive. Yeah, I was going for the split thing. No, I mean, I stopped seeing it. So, other exciting movie news. Deadpool 2 has moved up 2 weeks.
Yep.
I thought it was delayed longer, but I guess, okay. And then New Mutants was pushed back 10 months.
Yep, almost a full year.
That's kind of crazy. But they may be having issues. And then Kitty Pryde. There's a Kitty Pryde movie coming.
Really?
Of course,
possibly.
There is. I don't.
Oh my god! Is what's her name still gonna play her? Because I really want her.
Ellen Page.
Yeah. Ellen Page. Yeah.
Oh, that would be great. But she's
at this point. Anything that is in the works, I'm not holding on to.
Yeah, because Disney's gonna come in.
Pretty much all going to be wiped away. The exception might be Deadpool.
I mean, if you look at like contracts and everything, aside from like Deadpool and maybe New Mutants, yeah, they're kind of at that optimal point. Like the third X-Men movie will have no, actually, it'll be the fourth one.
Yep.
How many that's the other thing. How long were the contracts for people like Sophie Turner and all people from like the?
Doesn't matter. Disney's buying the shit for how many billions of dollars? You don't think they'll just go ahead and buy, like, terminate and buy out a contract?
I don't know. Depends on how expensive those contracts were.
None of them are super big stars. No. I mean, like, yeah. I know Sophie Turner and Maisie Williams have Game of Thrones under their belts, but most of the other kids aren't.
Are relatively new or unknown.
But yeah, then I wonder how much they'd affect, like, the television.
James McAvoy or...
Well, those guys, I think, are all done.
Well, they were supposed to be done before this, and then they, like, what's her name? Jennifer Lawrence came back and signed on for Dark Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they may not be on long-term contracts as it is. They may just be on one or two movie contracts and just playing it by ear. So
if McAvoy comes back as Xavier, he's got some splinter to do because McAvoy's gotten ripped.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
They had pictures of him coming out of the gym like a month ago. And yeah.
Well, he's wearing a suit. They don't need to. In a floating chair.
I'm just saying, when you're that ripped, it's kind of hard to look thin.
I mean, he'll just...
chair bound.
Listen, it's very easy. I've been doing pull-ups. Like crap.
All pull-ups. I've been skipping all leg days.
Your little legs are dangling there.
Oh.
Wow.
You didn't do the marathon that happened?
No,
recently?
I did not.
Oh.
I did not.
So, we're not sure. We're just speculating, but
we'll see what happens.
Well, the CEO of Disney came forward, and because everybody's like, they're going to cancel Deadpool, they're going to do all this. And
I never thought they'd cancel Deadpool.
He pretty much said, like, if it makes us... I mean, he said it in a very businessy way, but he's like, if it makes us a lot of money...
Well, he said that they can have a Marvel R division.
Yeah.
So, which would probably only be Deadpool, but... Hey, I mean, because of the fact that it doesn't touch any of the other cinematic Marvel, like, or not Marvel, X-Men world, I can see them keeping the Deadpool cast.
Yeah.
It'd be a little awkward with Josh Brolin getting double paychecks for Thanos and for Cable, but...
Except for Josh Brolin, I'm sure he'd be fine with it.
I'm sure he's completely okay with it.
He's like, I'm good with this, but...
Why does Cable sound just like Thanos? That's so weird.
Ever seen the two of them in the same room?
I don't think so.
What about television? There's been lots of great television on lately, and the thing called the Golden Globes. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
No one talked about it right afterwards.
It comes on a work night. I don't.
I just know Oprah's running for president now.
Stop that.
Does it frighten you, a brown woman running for president?
No, it excites me, but I don't want someone like Oprah who has no political experience running for president.
Oh, no, so. I'm with you there. Let's not open up that floodgate.
Why are we going to make the same mistake twice? There was a lot of big moments. I know Oprah's speech was certainly one of them. I know Guillermo del Toro's moment where he was starting to get played off, as they like to do. And he's like, guys, I've been trying to get to here for 25 years. Like, let me talk.
Well, what happened right before his moment was the Natalie Portman moment.
Natalie Portman shade throw was absolutely fucking beautiful.
I'm pretty sure all the lights went out in the theater, in wherever they were.
And I felt so bad for Guillermo because I think he was the first nominee right after that. And he just had to sit there and like,
you're right.
Do I clap?
But as Linda Holmes said on Pop Culture Happy Hour, she said it like it was directed at the nicest guy in Hollywood, Ron Howard. But it didn't matter because honestly, it just needed to be said.
I'm sorry, I have a penis. I'm sorry. I'm not that sorry. Actually,
not sorry enough.
Not that sorry.
I'm not sorry.
So other shows that have been catching our interest.
Runaways. Is so good.
I am so far behind. Actually, I think I'm like two episodes.
Yeah, I have
so,
two episodes.
I'm like,
to watch.
Only 10. You can't be that far behind.
Yeah. Although they did get greenlit for the second
season.
They did.
Thank God.
I know. Because if it had ended at that point, I'd have
lost
like,
my mind.
A little bit of a cliffhanger-ish type thing. BJ, we were talking. What is it? It like barely goes through like the first or second issue.
So now that we're at the end of the first season, it ends like in the middle of the original first story, where the parents essentially frame the kids for the first murder. that they witnessed. Spoilers. So the murder they witnessed, they have now officially been framed for.
And they're running away.
And they're actually, at pretty much by the end of the season, they are officially runaways.
Officially.
Officially.
They are over it.
Yeah.
Officially.
They've also given the dinosaur the name.
Yes!
Old Lace.
Oh, Old Lace.
Like,
Old Lace has been my favorite part.
So I never would have called that. I'm like,
I love the really practical like the effect dinosaur. On the dinosaur. Like, I did not expect them to do that much practical effect.
I didn't know it was practical effect.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's an actual.
Totally. It's a Jurassic World dinosaur. Yeah. It's the same people that made the Jurassic World dinosaurs.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. I mean, there is CGI.
When is Chris Pratt coming to this?
Never.
Star-Lord shows up. Starts wrestling the dinosaur. I don't know. Riding the dinosaur. I don't know.
I just got super turned on.
What I do like
scared.
About what they've done is they've given the parents some backstory, some interesting. Like they made them three-dimensional, not two-dimensional.
Some catharsis, yes. Some actual explanation for what they've done.
Yeah, and a more believable, like, yeah, they love their kids. Of course they do. Like, this isn't them just being supervillains. As much as that is also kind of cool,
yeah.
This is a more nuanced, they have a reason that they're doing what they're doing.
Which will kind of make it interesting at the end of the first graphic novel arc.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean,
don't give away spoilers.
I didn't.
If you want spoilers, go read the novels.
No, honestly, anyone who has not read this, I'll tell you, it's probably one of the better comics and one of the newer creations in the last 20 years that's stuck.
Yeah.
I mean, it come and go, but
the characters are phenomenal, and they brought the comic back, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, I kind of dropped off
with the characters.
First issue, and I meant to go back and read it, but.
But it's being delightfully drawn by
Chris Anka. Yeah,
yes, they did a cute little like 5-minute quick draw video with him like on the Marvel YouTube channel.
Yep,
and it was kind of like they were showing like bits and pieces of him drawing and coloring, but he was talking about it and what it meant to him and what it meant to him to be asked to be the artist on the book, and it was really cool to watch.
Did he actually have more to say than he did on most panels we've been on with him?
Yes,
that's good.
He was
good
actually talking the entire like 5-minute video.
Never happens. So yeah, I liked Runaways, and you guys should catch up. Did you guys see the Doctor Who Christmas special?
Yes.
Sad.
I know you did.
It was sadness porn.
You do know. Now?
I do remember now that we watched it together.
Well,
Jeff,
you didn't take a bath. You didn't take a bath with him outside, so you didn't remember you were here.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like. A full year behind now.
My God. So
there's a new doctor.
Sidebar.
I heard that.
Sidebar. They finally announced that the Series 9 soundtrack is going to be released for Doctor Who.
Was that up in the air?
It had not been. It's been like 2 years, and they usually release it like the following year.
Yeah. Oh.
But the rights distribution changed. Some other stuff changed. They're doing a 4-disc box set for this thing.
Damn.
This is the series with Heaven Sent, which is the... he's stuck in that like castle that reconfigures.
Oh yeah, with the, okay.
So
yeah.
Like, I would that really like that alone. They're doing a whole disc for the soundtrack.
So it stinks that your birthday is like 11 months away.
I know.
You'll have to wait that long.
Guess you're
seriously?
Waiting.
I've already pre-ordered it. What are you talking about?
Daddy doing it for himself.
Come on.
I'm like, you know how hard it is to try to buy shit for him for his birthday.
Yes. Yes, I do.
You got it right.
Gift cards.
You guys both did fine.
Gift cards.
I mean, he didn't even look at my list. You did. I mean,
because you had like 2 things about your birthday. I had to yell at you to put more on it afterwards.
But to be fair, like I bought it. I bought something for you on your wish list, and then like when I gave it to you, like, oh, I just added a whole bunch of stuff this morning. That was like the day of your birthday.
Listen. People are asking. They're asking. No, I appreciate it, but no, the Doctor Who twice. What is it called? Twice Upon a Christmas.
Yes, twice a.
Is not only the swan song for Peter Capaldi, but also the swan song for embattled creator Stephen Moffat.
Yep.
I thought it was a great episode. Good way to go out. Kind of let them tie bows on everything they wanted to and set up a new doctor.
Yeah. There was one big issue.
There was?
One huge issue with
what
it.
Was the huge
what
issue?
Was the big issue?
The fucking first doctor.
What about him?
Oh.
Wait, what's wrong with the first doctor? Other than he's meant to be kind of a dick.
Him being a dick isn't a problem, but they like amped up the sexism.
Oh yeah, from him
to astronomical proportions.
Because they're showing that it's changed.
But
the cult
now, no, I did, get that.
Did
but
the first doctor talk like that?
Oh
that,
yeah, very no, much.
Not like that though.
Okay, the first doctor, to my knowledge, And let's give them a little more credit. They know their show more than we do, like in depth.
Not always. Well, they like to play fast and loose.
Moffat is one of the... Yeah, anyway. So, another sidebar I'll tell you in a second. They wanted to put relief to it. The first Doctor never talked about spanking somebody on the bottom. I mean, that was a joke. That's a joke. It's funny.
Yeah.
But I think they did a great job with the first Doctor and the continuity of the character, showing that they both didn't want to regenerate, and what that means is in the Who universe, the fact that this idea of the what do they call it, the Testament, and using that idea to kind of give the Doctor not a villain instead of like a villain. I mean, it was good.
I love that line. I don't know what to do when there's not an evil plan.
Yeah,
right. He was just like, wait, they're not doing anything bad.
The callback to the other Dalek episode that he did right after his regeneration.
Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah.
Like all these little things were really, really nice. And I will say that I did not cry like I do every time I watch Matt Smith's regeneration, because that one still kills me. But I still enjoyed it. It was great, and I'm sad Moffat's gone. I'm total, you know, admitted fan of his, and I'm excited for the new Doctor, of course, which they set up rather spectacularly.
Oh yeah,
and possibly some meta commentary there about how fans are reacting to her.
It was great. It was absolutely fantastic.
Maybe, but I don't know. I'm what I'm really sad about is there's no Doctor Who until like August or September.
You gonna be okay?
I'll be fine because there's so many great episodes to go back and watch, but it sucks.
You know what else there is to watch? Game of Thrones. Probably.
I should get caught.
You have an entire year to catch up on Game of Thrones.
An entire year and a half, pretty much.
So I did want to mention, just read a story about, I guess there was a signing of Tom Baker at a Scottish comic shop. I forgot the name of the shop. Not only
it would be funny if it was actually just a comic shop, but in Scotland, and it was just called a Scottish comic shop.
It had somebody's name on it. No, so not only were two, not only was Stephen Moffat there with David Tennant, but there was a second Doctor, future Doctor there, Peter Capaldi, all at the same signing of Tom Baker back in the 70s.
Holy shit!
That's more epic than Capaldi riding into the Doctor Who show and actually like getting his letter put in like the news feed, whatever it was.
And if you didn't have a chance to, you missed it. Capaldi wrote a letter to one of the fans, like a young fan, about I'm sad that the Doctor's regenerating, blah blah blah. And Capaldi wrote the most beautiful, sweet little note to that kid, and it talks about, you know, how, basically it was like trying to help the kid, you know, learn and grow and kind of get over it, not get over it, but, you know, deal with this kind of death.
He said something about spanking him on the bottom.
No,
right. No, he's really good with his fans. Like he did the was it the gay couple in Australia, and his boyfriend wrote a letter to him, and he actually recorded a proposal video. Oh,
yeah, I think I
he's just
that.
Like he's like, oh yeah, there's just all sorts of things that happen in the universe, blah blah blah. He's like, by the way, you should probably look at your boyfriend right now because he's got something to ask you. And he turns to his boyfriend, and because they had all these cameras on them, it was super cute. But I was like, he's a really, really good guy to his fans.
I'm very sad to see him go, but Jodie Whittaker is kind of amazing. I watched the Black Mirror episode about the Grail, where you can record everything and play it back. And she's in that.
Yeah.
Totally. It's always one of those things where you get a new doctor, you get a new actor.
Was that with Toby Kebbell?
I think so.
Yeah.
And you don't know what they're going to be like. And this doesn't mean that's what she's going to be like. That's her character. But just seeing her, because I haven't seen Broadchurch yet. Well, I haven't seen her, you know, in Broadchurch.
Oh, I've seen her in Broadchurch.
So
awesome.
That might be closer to it. But I'm going to, because that's also Chibnall, the new showrunner.
And Tennant. That's
the show. And there's other great things about it. But, like, that's always a way to kind of, like, build into the new Doctor Who showrunner or actors, kind of watch other stuff they've done.
But so, like, Broadchurch, that's like the anti... Who doctor? Because just alcohol ridden, depressed detective, burnt on the bitter edge tenant with a beard?
Yeah,
question mark?
Yeah, no, he had a beard.
Yeah, I just meant the actual presence of facial hair. It was more of a question mark.
The new season has two interesting episodes. Hang the DJ.
It's got six interesting episodes. Okay, now.
Yeah,
it's got four interesting episodes.
Okay. I know there's one about what Penn Jillette gave the idea.
Well, it was a short story that Penn Jillette wrote, and they made a full episode about it.
Nice.
I haven't seen that one, but the Hang the DJ one is fascinating.
Hang the DJ was great. That was my favorite of the season.
Somewhat of an interesting ending, which I liked.
Yeah.
And then the, is it the Whittaker? No. What's the name of the ship? It's the Star Trek one.
Yeah, the USS Callister.
Woo! I absolutely love that one.
That was great.
Meta commentary, all kinds of
was a backdoor pilot if I ever saw one.
I get, yeah. I mean, you can see what it, you can see it doing that, but no, I don't want that. I don't want that. So Gillian Anderson is leaving the X-Files, and I am sad. However,
she also left American Gods. So what the fuck?
Well, oh yeah,
we'll get to that. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Ugh.
Here's the thing: did anybody watch the season? What, I
11.
Don't know what number it is.
I have never watched
How
an episode
is it season
of X-Files.
11?
Because
oh,
season
right.
10
yeah,
was
right.
six
sure.
episodes.
Right. So 11 premiered. Did you watch it?
No, I heard it was god-awful.
It is worse, and I don't know how this is possible. It is worse than the premiere and the finale of season 9.
Which I heard were... No, 10, you
10,
mean.
10, sorry. Oh, yeah.
The 6th episode, which right. I heard was also horrible.
Horrible. This is worse, and here's why. A, it retcons completely season 9, or 10's finale. So that's a whole cliffhanger, alien invasion, you know, Mulder's going to die, all this crap. Completely retcons that, gone. That was a dream. It was a dream sequence.
Oh, of course.
A vision. I mean, I'll be honest.
Because Chris Carter ran out of ideas a long time ago.
Yeah. And then mostly narration by different characters. I think Mulder did most of the narrating. In the worst Mulder-y just reading, it's just like you think Harrison Ford phones it in sometimes.
This is Harrison Ford Blade Runner.
This is yeah. Oh, why'd you gotta do that?
Theatrical cut Blade Runner.
And then what else happened? It's bad. You get the Smoky Man stuff, which I'm okay, a little bit more okay with that, just because I like the actor and I like the character somewhat. But the ridiculousness that this show is doing, and the ham-handed way that it ends as a way to dovetail into more X-Files. But yet addressing the mythology, it's just bad. Like, I can't understand. Oh, I can't understand why Jillian's leaving. I can't understand why they keep giving Carter more show to run. It's just awful.
Because people keep watching it.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I know. Because it's X-Files. Of course I'm going to watch it. But anyway. So I've heard this week's, I haven't watched it yet, but I heard it's really good. And I think the middle ones, just like the last season, are going to be okay. And
because
worth
they're
watching.
Not written by Carter.
Right. Exactly. But oh my god, just such bad. Oh, like it just you sit there and you've had. I mean, we have good television right now. We have like some people say it's like peak television, the golden age, whatever. How can this then be on the air?
Honestly,
like,
just, I think what did you do? I think network television peaked a few years back. I think nowadays you're having better stuff on alternate.
No. The Good
television.
Place. The Good Place is one of the best shows on that television.
I think that just the came exception back. That proves the rule because The Good Place is fucking amazing.
Yeah,
right. This is us.
This is us.
It's not my bag, but it's good.
I'm not getting pulled into that complete emotion string pulling bullshit.
Yeah, it's like me watching The Leftovers. It is
entirely... What?
The Good Doctor on ABC?
No.
No.
What?
No, absolutely not. No.
Oh, I don't,
oh
I
The Gifted? Oh, wait, no.
Oh.
I don't care if they're doing... Fan baiting.
It, no, I, well, so I'm much, not saying it's good. I'm just so saying they just started through. They started throwing every fucking thing that they could in, against the wall, and it at least makes it somewhat entertaining to watch.
But that's like hate watching. It's
oh yeah,
it's no, entertaining well, to watch. Doesn't mean it's all. It's not.
Why do you think I still watch it? And Supergirl. And
no.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow is funny.
It's really good.
I gave up The Ghost. I have given up all of my superhero shows on CW. I might try Black Lightning out.
Really?
I've given up
the
everything
Flash
else.
Flash got a lot better
it's
this season.
It's so good this season.
It's kind of like Arrow. The previous seasons were starting to go slightly downhill more and more. And I was just like, no, I don't care. The only thing I watch on the CW right now that I like is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Well, that's great, Joe. You got to go back and watch the crossover, though, this season. It was really good.
It was
phenomenal.
Alternate Nazi Earth.
Yeah,
that's all fine.
So good, though.
You're not still watching Supernatural?
Okay, it's on hiatus right now, so technically no. Technically no.
Supernatural's fine.
Shut your mouth when you're talking.
Are you
going to
watch
no,
Wayward
I've made
Sisters?
It through season 9 now.
Yeah, probably.
I've been Netflix binging Supernatural.
It's a great show. It's so by the numbers. It is so repetitive, but...
That's why it's good for while I'm playing video games, just to have on my second screen.
Anything
wallpaper.
That can get Mark Pellegrino a job.
Did he make The Water?
He did.
Is that his water?
Yeah, sure.
Ew. Is he a boiler? Oh.
the guy who played Jacob on Lost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know it was Mount Pellegrino. Oh,
yeah,
maybe I did.
He plays Lucifer on Supernatural, and he's great.
Yeah. So, all these shows or whatever, I don't know. Has anybody checked out the Sabrina show got greenlit?
Yes.
See any?
The daughter from Mad Men, I think, is Sabrina.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yep. So it got greenlit, but surprisingly enough, it's going to Netflix and not to CW. Oh,
that's all right. In this day and age, that's okay. That may be better, actually.
Yeah. They still said they're talking about doing a crossover with Riverdale.
I just want them to do the comic they're doing right now, which is so dark it's and
really,
terrible.
Really good.
Like, really just, it's they're satanic.
Oh, you know, has anybody watched the David Letterman interview
show? Oh,
that's
out?
The first episode.
They announced it. That's actually out.
First they released the Obama.
Oh. Yeah. Obama episode is on. It's like a monthly release.
Does he smack down Trump? I'll watch it then.
That's the thing. It's Letterman, so he's classy enough to smack down Trump without actually naming Trump.
Of course. No, I mean, that's the way to do it. But.
Yeah. It's really good. It's really good.
I need to watch that. I miss the Letterman. I mean, and I love Colbert, but even like on the DVR, it's kind of backlogged a bit. Yeah, I don't know. What about Top Chef? I don't watch that.
It's been good. The new season came back.
Is Daddy Colicchio still there?
Of course he is.
Oh, didn't Daddy he sexually Christina. Harass somebody?
No.
I feel like he did.
Hasn't everybody?
No, Batali and Johnny Iannuzzi.
That's right, because they canceled the...
Yeah, they completely shelved the Great American Baking
Show. And they
show.
Pulled the old ones. That's so sad. Yep.
Everything gone. Well, they only had one episode from this season.
Oh.
It was episodes 1 and 2. They were doing the 2-hour block for the season. But Top Chef is back. They're in... Colorado.
Yes.
Colorado.
But it's good. I wanted to make sure that Eric had something to talk about since, I mean, he doesn't watch crap television.
I mean, I just don't watch a lot of television.
Oh, true.
That's how it works.
Yeah. No, you're probably better off.
Yeah.
But it's cute. There were
three bears.
Three apparently
straight
men.
Bears.
Moist.
Who were all bunking together, and they named their room the Bear Den.
Moist.
And then they had the little bear oven mitts.
Aww. Max, they did a little moist.
They did a little confessional. They were like, grrr.
I'm moister than an oyster now.
I now see why you said apparently.
Yeah. It's one of them was talking about the cheese guys, and he's like a Greek god. And I'm like,
easy there.
What?
All right.
Yeah.
I did mean to mention, I don't think I did before, Mr. Robot, the season finale happened.
There it is. I was waiting for it.
What? It's a good show. Although the season finale, I will say season 3 season finale is kind of like season 2. No, season 1's. It just kind of ends and then you're like, okay, what's next? I don't know.
Hmm.
Are you caught up at all? No.
Nope.
The middle of that season was the peak for me, although it did get really crazy towards the end. But now I got to wait for another fucking 6, 7, 8, 9 months until the new season.
Poor baby.
It's hard.
It is.
That's good.
It's
Game
so
of
hard.
Thrones time.
Yeah.
Although they... Shut up. I did... I'm glad they renewed it. I wasn't sure they were going to renew it. The ratings have been down, but I was hopeful.
Is that USA in general?
Or? I think so. But I mean, this show, it's one of those things that if the more seasons go by, the more complicated the story gets. It's hard to get into. So you're not going to get a lot of new...
Well, it's serial
viewers,
television.
Right.
It's...
So unless you just get, you know, a resurgence of interest. But anyway.
Unless you're doing like CSI Miami, you're not going to have that whole investment week to week.
I feel like there's another big show that I'm just completely blanking on. But, you know, honestly, it's fine.
There's a ton of stuff that came out.
Oh, S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been really, really good. Oh, my God. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been absolutely
fine. We're not caught up to the newest episode.
I'm not caught up to it either.
Oh, come on, Michael Chiklis.
The agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. No,
not the Michael Chiklis police drama.
I do want to go back and finish the S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point. I still haven't. But agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the far future adventures of our, you know, fledgling spy agency. It's so batshit right now. Like, it's crazy. It's not bad. In fact,
I love it.
Some nice moments in the last episode that we saw. But I'm hoping that they actually do a second like arc this season. I hope it's not the whole time.
No, I'm
kind of over the thing, actually.
I think they found that the arcs or the multiple arcs worked for them last season, so I really kind of think that they'll keep it up. I haven't heard anything about it.
Do you know who has not been in this, like that sort of Star-Lord-y character they introduced? He kind of disappeared.
I'm okay with that.
I thought they were going to really build up and make him something, and then now I'm like...
Oh, the guy that turned on Daisy?
Yeah, totally just went away.
I'm completely okay with that because...
I like the actor.
I like the actor, but I'm completely okay with that character archetype not being there for a long time.
It's good, and I like the guys. It's not Doug Jones playing that alien. No, it's not Doug Jones. The little helper. Yeah. No, Enoch.
I don't know.
So there's like a Watcher-esque character who isn't supposed to interfere, except he totally does. I'm kind of curious. They had a little post episode sort of thing where he went off to the surface of the world or something. Anyway, long story short, it's actually been good, but I'm kind of ready for It's the next thing.
Something new.
I'd like to open up a vein now and talk about American Gods.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I almost forgot. So, yeah, I'm so pissed because they got rid of... Well, okay.
Hang on. Let's back up. They had a great first season.
Yes.
Groundbreaking television, very artistic. Brian Fuller and Michael Green.
I believe
were the two showrunners. Did a lot of interesting stuff, especially with like the crazy visuals that they're known for, introducing that with the story of American Gods. Green lit for season two, like after the first episode of season one, because it was such a popular show. A few months back, it was announced that due to budgetary constraints, that's basically as much as they said, Fuller and Green were departing as showrunners.
Yep.
And everybody had a collective oh shit moment.
Yep.
Then, nothing really great. They hadn't really announced who the new showrunner was going to be yet. Then, a couple weeks ago, it was announced that not only was Gillian Anderson leaving,
right,
but possibly Kristen Chenoweth was also going.
Yep. Womp.
Two relatively large gods gone.
Yes. Media for Gillian Anderson and Easter for Kristen Chenoweth.
Yep.
Kristen Chenoweth
was in the first season.
Right, but Kristen Chenoweth was like the basically figurehead of the old god attack now, thanks to the whole thing at the end of the season. And now Starz had a big press conference or like there was a big media thing where they were announcing their new shows for the fall. The president of Starz came forward in that saying that apparently, it was always the plan for Gillian Anderson to only be there for one season, which was surprising.
Yeah, a little bit.
If that was true, then why did she have to announce she was leaving?
Well, it may have just been in an interview. She said something like, oh, yeah, I'm not coming back.
Right. But this is also like to her also saying she wasn't coming back for any more X-Files. So it was like, I'm just done with everything.
Which is so funny because she, well, I don't know what she's going to do.
But then they also threw out, oh, well, you know, Neil Gaiman's actually taking over as showrunner for season two.
I didn't read that.
This is the president of Starz saying that.
Yeah.
And he said, and we're still trying to find a way for Brian Fuller and Michael Green to come back. And we're hoping that they can contribute some way in the next season. Neil Gaiman responded when somebody pushed that on his Twitter feed saying like, hey, I didn't realize. And he's like, I didn't either. Sounds like someone got their wires crossed.
Oh, wow. No.
So even he's like, what? I'm not showrunner. What are you talking about?
Can we go back to how you say his last name?
Gaiman. Does it matter?
I'm just curious. It was amusing to me.
Does it matter?
Gaiman.
The Gaiman.
I mean,
I'm sure it does to him.
Are you worried about
honestly,
the Gaiman?
With the great Pittard Petard debate, I am over it. You can say my last name however the fuck you
hashtag
want. I don't care.
Did you know we're Scottish?
Huh?
Did you know we're Scottish?
Sure. Why not?
I'll tell you about our clan later.
Fit that in there too.
Petard.
Found that out this weekend. So yeah, Neil Gaiman. I mean, I'm not shocked that they totally fucked this.
I'm just like,
this is just a hot mess.
How? And also, the president of Starz admitted or explained further about the budgetary constraints and the reason why Green and Fuller left wasn't necessarily them because of Starz reducing the budget. I guess it was Fremantle Media not wanting to pony up the dough.
That could be. That's totally possible.
So he was like, that wasn't us, basically.
It's totally possible. I mean, the way TV shows are made,
They needed the money for the new American Idol.
I don't know. So, yeah.
So we don't know. It's never coming back.
It's all up in the air. Lord only knows what's happening. I hate all the different promise that the first season had is now just thrown to the wind.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the Anne Rice Vampire Chronicles show looks all the more promising because Fuller has joined as a showrunner.
Yep.
Okay.
And who knows? Gillian Anderson might show up in that now.
Probably, knowing the way that works. TV is frustrating, but sometimes it goes, well, you saw that Fargo season 4 is probably going to happen.
I have not seen that yet. I haven't even watched season 3. I haven't finished season 2.
What? You need to finish that. Frustratingly, season 3 is not out on Blu-ray. It is out on DVD, but they're like, oh, we don't see the viability of putting it out on Blu-ray. I'm like, fuck you.
Let's put it on Hulu.
They've done other things, but it's just, anyway. Season 4, though, Holly had an idea. Originally, he was going to come back.
Okay.
And he had an idea that really excited him, and I guess the network's like, yes, please. I guess it did well enough, but it'll probably be a little bit because he's working on a movie.
Yeah, Legion season
2. Legion season 2.
Which, like, I heard some interesting stuff about Legion season 2.
What's that?
I guess there's potentially going to be, storyline-wise, like a time jump to when David gets set free from whatever that little
Mojo?
Orb. Well, whatever that little orb was that grabbed him.
Uh-huh.
And when he... I don't know.
Yeah.
When he comes back,
Holly was basically trying to invert the whole process of the first season where, like, he's a crazy person in a sane world. And to David, it'll be like he's the sane person in a crazy world, which will almost make it more like he's the villain. But they said they're also, they've already cast, I guess they had recast the physical representation of Shadow King.
Yeah.
And then he said that, like, also because Shadow King, you know, had different personalities, that you probably will see, like, Aubrey Plaza showing up. And,
I hope so.
What's his name from Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah.
Jermaine Clement.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Because he said he couldn't do the whole thing or something.
Right. But at the end of the season, he was who Shadow King had possessed by that point.
Well, that's great. I'd love more of that. So that's a lot of television. Did we miss anything? I think that's good enough.
I think that covers most of it.
Yeah.
Okay. We do want to take this moment to point out, if you have never been on the social media looking for us, we are all over there. If you go to flameonshow.com, you can find all of our little chiclets. We're very active on Facebook and Twitter.
The gum?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, it works. We have a somewhat other various social media outlets. They're all there, but Twitter and Facebook, your best bet. Flameonshow.com. And while you're there, if you want to leave us a little review, we love seeing how you think and how you feel about us. You can go over to iTunes or Google Play
or SoundCloud or
Stitcher.
Or even just the star rating. We'll take just a rating.
Actually, the star rating is easy. You just click and you're good.
Yeah. That'll help other people who have not heard the show before get to know about us, because we may pop up as a recommendation.
Help us do SEO and give us a few stars. Finally, patreon.com. This is not a free effort. I mean, we don't get paid, but we get a little money. Keeps us going. If you go over to patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can show us some love, donate some dollars. We are still going to do the drag queen naming. I have at least one person besides Ron. Haha, still going to happen.
Oh.
Who has basically said he wants it.
It's so, not you secretly just like registering on a different account, is it?
No. Okay. I've met this other person. But no, if you go over there and you donate, or just say, hey, we love Flame On, if you're already a donor, we will give you a drag name and your first number. So it's sort of a Insta-drag kit we're providing. We're not going to give you the makeup. We're not going to give you the outfits. But we'll get you at least started with some of the branding to help out.
We might send you a roll of duct tape.
And if you make it on RuPaul's Drag Race, you have to give a shout out to us.
Oh, and one more plug, and then I swear we're going to move on. If you are a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, immediately before this, we had a great episode interview with Ginger Minj. I know Eric and Pat, you guys were doing that. Talking a lot about what she's been up to since the last time, when she did All-Stars 2.
Yep.
That was the last thing. Mm-hmm. And then
we just talked a lot in general.
And you
yeah, hours. I was surprised though. It was only like 45 minutes of her life, and then the rest of the 2 hour plus episode was us just talking about randomness and All Stars 3.
Yeah.
Because it was like, let's talk about this person in stories about interacting with that person. So it was great. Like, if you're interested to kind of hear how these queens interact behind the scenes, and there was actually a whole big conversation about the supposed feud between Trixie and Ginger over Katya.
yes.
There's a whole big conversation about that, and it was some really good conversation about it. And we talked about the All Stars 3 cast. So.
And speaking of All Stars 3, if you are a fan of the RuPaul Drag Race, you are going to watch All Stars 3 in a timely manner, you can participate with us. We are working with a friend of ours to help build this little drag race fantasy football league kind of thing. it's actually called Drag Beat. If you go on Facebook and look up Drag Beat, you'll find the group. Or if you go to dragbeat.com, you can get right to the Facebook group. You just have to join and fill out a quick little Google application, and you can do our fantasy draft picks for Drag Race All-Stars Season 3. As soon as this episode comes out, you basically have a few days to register and sign up, and we'll get you in the system. And then every week we'll announce who the winners are, put up the leaderboard, show who's winning. It's going to be a lot of fun, so check it out.
When's the cutoff for registration?
I don't think we're cutting off registration. It's just going to be, if you don't get in for the first week, the points, it's going to be hard to win the overall. And there's no prize. It's totally for entertainment purposes. We're obviously not affiliated with World of Wonder, MTV, yada, 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 all that disclaimer. But it is good bragging rights. And if you don't care about the points, you just want to have fun, you can register whenever you want, and we'll bring you in.
Could do like winner gets like a shout out on the show.
Well, yeah, we might do something like that, but it's going to be fun. A friend of mine, Brandon, has been doing this with Google Spreadsheets for a while. And so this is now actually just a little web application that's going to be cool. We're actually sort of beta testing it, so don't try it. I mean, you can try it on your phone. It probably won't work great, but maybe for season 10, we'll have the kinks worked out. Drag Race, dragbeat.com, and then you can get everything from there.
Hey, everybody. Pat here with a quick Deadpool-esque break the fourth wall moment. Brian made just one little mistake with that website. It's not dragbeat.com. It's dragracebeat.com. 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 Go check it out.
Okay, comics. Games. We skipped games, and I know we sometimes do, but I have a game to talk about, so I'm going to just throw this out there.
I have a whole bunch of games to talk
about. Well, then there we go. Oh, we didn't end the Nintendo Direct. So,
I was gonna say.
The Witness. Who's played The Witness?
Nobody in this
one. What's The Witness?
The Witness. Do you guys remember Myst?
Oh, God.
Yes. Oh, fuck okay. That game.
Oh, God.
So here's the thing.
Fuck the
game. Who remembers Loom?
Yes.
I love Loom. Can we play interesting games, not boring as shit games?
Here's the thing.
Yes, Myst, sir.
The Myst was an immersive sort of puzzle game with very nice, rich atmosphere.
And boring.
I liked the Book of Myst.
Extra boring.
I enjoy this game to no end.
Boring.
But The Witness is it's not related. It's a different developer. It's the guy who did Braid.
Okay.
So
okay.
Now you have my attention.
A very intelligent game developer, and he has tried to reinvent that genre with a puzzle game called The Witness. It's on Steam. It's on mobile platforms, I guess. And at its heart, other than exploring this giant island of mysteries, are these puzzles. And what's really cool about the puzzles is you don't have any a priori knowledge of how to solve the puzzles. They don't do any kind of explanation. You just look at a panel and figure out how to make it basically light up.
Okay.
And
so
they
throw you into the midst of, there's no story. There's just like, on this thing.
Yep,
figure it out.
You're dropped in. It's kind of like Stanley Parable, but with no narration, and that you're just dropped in, and then you have to kind of figure out what the hell the rules are and what you're doing.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, I'm maybe like a couple hours in. I've solved a bunch of puzzles, and they're frustrating at sometimes, but I still have no idea really what I'm doing, other than I've like made a thing glow on the island that makes me think, oh, there's more of these things. That's what propels you on. Friends at work have told me this game gets really sort of meta commentary, kind of cool on gaming and storytelling and some other neat stuff. And there's some like next level awareness thing that you hit that makes your mind explode. So I'm excited about that. And it's called The Witness. And if it's still on sale on Steam, it was like $15.
Okay.
Which is down from like $40. So yeah, I highly recommend checking it out. The graphics are gorgeous. Like I said, they have it on the mobile devices. It's good. I guess Nintendo, well, we had the CES this week, right?
CES has been going on this week.
Was that why Nintendo was doing a bunch of stuff?
A little, yeah.
Was it supposed to coincide, or was it just like they're just doing their Nintendo Direct?
I think they were just doing, they just dropped like a quickie mini Direct.
Okay, so I didn't watch it. I watched the beginning of it, and I kind of just stopped. What's the excitement with Nintendo right now?
All right, so there's a lot of ports coming over, so I'm 90% sure at this point they're going to kill the DS. So hold tight to your DS, people. Give it a kiss.
It'll be worth a lot of money soon.
And then, they'll either be worth a lot of money or you trade that shit in for store credit now.
Nintendo has proven time and time again they can't really do multiple things. And then once the Switch came out as a portable system, it was like, oh, yeah, their portable market's pretty much going to be replaced.
Exactly. So they've got a DS port, The World Ends With You, coming out called The World Ends With You Final Remix. They've extended it. They've upped some combat stuff for it. It's pretty much a 2D RPG version of Double Dragons. Cute game. I've played it a little bit. I didn't play it all the way through. You've got DLC, multiplayer DLC coming out for Mario Odyssey. You've got DLC.
Which, honestly, is a little bit bullshit.
It's a little bit weird.
Is Luigi's Balloon Chase or whatever, and it's like, you've given me nothing.
Well, I mean, it's Luigi, so I already
assume
it was going
to be. But like, if you're
going to
put Luigi in the game, like, let me be Luigi.
Right.
Or like, do something like that. I get to go run somewhere in 30 seconds and hide a balloon, or I've got to go find a balloon. There are three new costumes coming, so hey, I mean, you get to dress them up a little bit more. But if you're going to give me DLC for Mario Odyssey, give me something more that's going to make me want to play more in the world.
Odyssey,
like, honestly, Breath of the Wild, the second DLC, the first one was Because honestly, the Master Trials, it's a bitch. Like, you need to be really, like, you need to have a certain mindset of how you play it in order to be able to do it.
Uh-huh.
The second set of DLC, really fucking good. I've never been a defensive player in any of those games because, I mean, it's Zelda. You go in and you fucking just start slashing shit and eventually something happens. You need to, like, you get the one hit obliterator, you get knocked down to half a heart, and your weapon will take out an enemy in one hit, and you get three hits before it recharges, and it takes like 5 minutes to recharge, but you also die in one hit.
Yep.
So like a choo-choo fucking pops out of the ground and like knocks into you and you're dead, and then you have to start this whole thing over again. And it made me want to go back and play Breath of the Wild again. So for Odyssey, I'm down to like 5 or 6 stars that I probably will never get. I probably will never get all. There's a couple of extra things for 100% completion, which is not 999 moons.
Yeah.
It's like 800 and some odd moons. But like, if you're going to do more of that, like I was really kind of sad about that. Although I'll kind of jump in with this into this with you also, because the only other thing that really excited me was Hyrule. Was it Hyrule Warriors? Hyrule Heroes?
Yeah, it's
Hyrule Warriors.
So it's Hyrule Warriors, which...
But it's all of the DLC from the Wii U. It's everything.
It's everything from the Wii U and everything from the DS game, yes, as well.
All in one, plus new Breath of the Wild outfits.
Yep.
So, I mean, I played a little bit of it on the Wii, U.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will actually entice me to want to play it on the Switch.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that, and then they have a complete port of Dark Souls coming. I thought that was a little interesting. And then Bayonetta 1, 2, and they announced Bayonetta 3. So I've been wanting to play Bayonetta 2, but then all the other systems fucked me over and were like, nah, we're not going to help you produce it. So Nintendo got the rights to Bayonetta.
On the Wii U.
On the Wii U, and I was like, it's not enough to make me buy a Wii U, but I really wish it was, and now I'm going to get all three Bayonetta games on one system, so I'm beyond excited about that.
Yeah, I was excited about the Darkest Dungeon port they're going to do on the Switch, because I never played that on PC, but I heard that was a really good, what was the term? Something light. Roguelike. Roguelike RPG, where it's basically like all procedural generated dungeons.
Oh, okay.
So you don't know going in how hard it's going to be. And I heard Darkest Dungeon was kind of like the Dark Souls of like a 2D turn-based combat game. So I want to try that. I've been playing Puzzle Fighter on mobile nonstop.
Yeah, me too.
I've gotten more people into the cult of Puzzle Fighter.
What arena? What gem? What metal? I'm a silver.
I'm Ultra Silver, and okay, I'm probably gonna die at Ultra Silver because
they're
some constantly hard... tweaking
the
certain characters, but and it just makes me miss certain parts of the old game. I wish I could go back and play the old game.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's something. Hey, I can't complain too much. I'm playing fucking Puzzle Fighter on my phone.
No, I know. I think about that every time I join in and get my ass kicked by some little who knows who. But
You just think back to the days of like playing Puzzle Fighter on like PlayStation 1.
Yeah, or in the arcade.
Or in the arcade at Wackadoo's.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, Locos.
Or whatever it was.
So I tried an MMO on there on the phone. Have you ever played Celtic Heroes?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I can't even look at
you
right now.
It's kind of amusing to me. Well, no, here's the thing. I've never played an MMO on a phone. Okay. This is the first MMO I've played on a mobile device. I was curious, and it's kind of funny because this weekend we were at the Scottish Highland Games. So there are certain,
was the developer of that game there?
No.
Download my game, Celtic Heroes.
No, but it was like kind of walking around. You're like, I feel like this guy should be glowing because he has a quest for me. You know, like just some of the weird. Anyway.
Nope. Turns out just drunk. Just really drunk. Yeah. That's why he's glowing.
I will say Celtic Heroes is not a bad MMO for a phone based. Like, have you guys ever played an MMO on a phone?
No.
It's not the worst thing. Like,
we love ourselves, Brian. Listen.
Okay, when I think of an MMO, I think of the typical experience of a third person.
Yeah.
You're walking around.
That's what it is.
But then, is it like analog controls like on a touchscreen?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's not, okay, let me put it this way. It's better than you'd think it would be, and it's not perfect. And right now, the story is pretty basic. But I'm trying it.
Okay.
Give it a shot, you know?
Okay.
It's a little bit older too. I had never heard of it, so I don't know. If you're liking MMO, like Final Fantasy, okay, I play that at night on my computer. I can't play it on my phone. If you want a little MMO action during the day though, something like this might be,
you know,
good for you.
While you're at your job and you know you can't get onto your
you can do it in the bathroom if you need to take a little break.
So if you're obsessed with MMOs and you need that quick fix.
Exactly.
Hey, bathroom break is just long enough for a puzzle fighter fight.
It's true. Until like puzzle fighter and you're sitting there in the stall and you're like, oh shit. Anyway, that's happened. So comics. I know a lot of us actually, how many of us read? Two? You and me? That's it. BJ, do you still read?
Oh yeah. Okay. I got a ton.
So we're going to do another episode, a little more deeper dive with Oral.
Yes.
Yay.
Whenever we can wrestle him away from a comic shop, your number one nerd destination.
Where you can probably see him crying in a corner.
Aww. But we did want to at least give some honorable mentions out, some books that have given us some enjoyment lately.
Giving us life!
That's a whole other thing.
Oh.
No. But I will start with an indie book that I do not read. And it really is kind of a, you know, indie in the sense it's not from Marvel or DC, but Power Rangers.
Mm.
I'm not reading it.
Yeah, so there's two Power Ranger books. There's Go-Go Power Rangers, which has a significant.
Where they're all dancers
feel.
In a bar?
Go, a little go, bit. Okay.
Tommy has the best moves.
If you like, so if
I was
you,
always a Jason man myself, so.
Hmm. He didn't age as well, am. Though.
He's still hot as fuck, all right? Calm yourself.
I see some pictures. It looked like he chubbed up a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Do you not know the audience you were talking to at this table?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying. He probably looked better skinny.
No. And now he's bearded, too.
Oh, yes.
Bearded.
Come on, Austin.
Something juicy. So, the Power Rangers comics, they recently wrapped up an arc where like there was an alternate version of Tommy that embraced Rita and took over the world and everything. So it went like really dark. And then they started a new arc where they went even darker and showed that, because Zordon said there's been other Power Rangers before, he said in the show, but he never expounded on it. Well, there was a previous team before this set of teenagers in like the 80s. And they had an emergency mission they had to go on before they actually trained, and all of them except one died.
Hmm.
And she has now started a sort of secret, like they've built...
Secret plan.
She has pretty much built...
She started the Yiga clan?
Oh.
Do you have to drop bananas?
Absolutely not.
Does she get really, really fat?
No.
Just like
she become Rita Repulsa?
No.
Are they going with the movie?
Actually, that's what I'm thinking.
No.
Does she have an obsession with Krispy Kreme donuts for some reason?
Krispy Kreme.
And but, jewelry?
She likes Goldar.
Give me gold. But it's neat because because she was the Red Ranger and her entire team and essentially best friends all die.
How is this not the plot to the Power Rangers movie?
What's that?
How is this not the plot to the Power Rangers
movie? Loosely inspired by events from the movie.
But she has gone off and created kind of a... kind of like a UN-sanctioned anti-Rita alien...
Force? Okay.
They're not other Rangers, and she wants to work with the Power Rangers, and the latest issue they're having is that Rita has disbanded all of her men. She is kind of somewhere just kind of plotting herself, but in meanwhile, we have Finster has stepped forward as the new main villain and has created new monsters that can now disguise themselves as humans.
Okay, so when does Ivan Ooze show up?
Did one of those monsters run for president?
I mean...
One, by the way. He won.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Successfully on his first try.
Yes.
very stable genius.
We are in the darkest timeline.
So that sounds really... I don't know Power Rangers. Does that sound interesting? Is that good?
It sounds interesting. Like, I'm sure... Kind of like... I mean... What was it? They made the G.I. Joe comic book like a few 7 years ago. That was actually
ongoing. Yeah.
Right, but like that was
it was good.
The beginnings of like, wow, this could actually be a good comic book, and it's a G.I. Joe. I believe that Power Rangers could be a very viable comic book just as much.
From what I understand from the sales, it is actually doing very well. So I don't think it's gonna go away, but I don't have the basis of you were the Power Rangers fan. And
I was
a little older, just went, oh, let's say men in suits, and I don't care.
I was on the like outer edge of like being old enough to be like, yeah, this is a little young for me, but it was just at that right point. Like, I think like I only lasted a couple seasons in and was like, all right, moving on.
Yeah.
Once they started swapping out the cast,
I got through two movies and then I think I was out.
Oh no, I didn't even make it to Turbo.
I totally made it to Turbo.
Ugh, heard that was bad.
So there are other indie books, but like I said, when Oral and I sit down, we'll go through and do some deep dive on some more out there books that are catching our attention. But DC is doing some really good stuff right now. I only am going to talk about two, but they are two that are probably my favorites every week they come out. I immediately read them and I'm very excited. I'm going to actually throw a third in there. Two of them are by Tom
King.
These
two are amazing.
I'll throw a third in.
Well, I forgot about the other one.
All right, one more, I promise.
Okay, fine.
Is the third one Snagglepuss?
You convinced me. Oh, my God. I don't want to talk about that yet. I want to save Snagglepuss for Oral because I need to unpack it with him and I need to read it again.
There is a dirty joke in there somewhere. I'm sure there is. And I will have it ready by the microset.
Okay, you know, good. I need to unpack my Snagglepusses like every day.
So let's start with Tom King.
Got to tear him open.
The writer of the Vision series that was really good.
Oh, Tom King.
He has been doing some amazing work on Batman. There is a specific issue that I really love. It was the annual number 2 for Batman that is date night. It's basically the alternate future, possible future of Batman and Catwoman.
Yep.
And sort of wraps their story, which is lovely.
They're still engaged, right?
Still engaged. And this is sort of a just fast forward to the end of their kind of time together. And it's beautiful. It's really good. Okay. But also Date Night, which was a 2-issue little mini story. Or is it Super Friends. And Date Night was the name of the annual. Super Friends is Batman and Catwoman going on a double date with Superman and Lois Lane.
Interesting.
It is actually probably one of the coolest little sort of world's finest ish.
Very adorable.
Does everybody know everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's the only way you could probably do that.
Well, right. And they're not out in their outfits at first, and there's other things. And, you know, it doesn't go.
Poor
which
Lois.
Is super awkward because Lois is the only one who doesn't have a secret identity. Like,
it's true.
But then on top of that.
Well, she has had one over the years.
Well, like, I mean, that's fine.
Different ones.
But. How does the rest of the world not like piece of all of that shit together? Like,
yeah,
Lois, Clark Kent, wait,
Bruce Wayne.
It's a conceit. You have to go. Okay. But it's been really good. And the new Batman stuff that's coming is also going to be pretty awesome. The other Tom King book that I really love and probably more even than Batman is Mr. Miracle. And I know I've talked about this 100 times over, but I will tell you the most recent issue that I did rave about was episode 5. That was the one where Mr. Miracle thought he was dying or going to be executed. So he kind of was making his peace with the world and having one beautiful last day. And there's sexy stuff with Barda and all of it's great. But they kind of get past that and life moves on. And then this issue 6, is one long continuous fight on, I believe, New Genesis to get to Orion. And during the whole fight, all they're doing is arguing about redoing the apartment that they're in. It's this long marital discussion argument. And then there's a revelation about what they're really talking about, which is interesting. And then there's the real big revelation, which I'm not going to spoil here. But in the last page, you're like, oh, shit.
Let me guess. She's pregnant.
You'll have to find out.
There you go. There's only one reason why you get in that heavy discussion about redoing the apartment. It's because you want to make a nursery.
There you go. That could be it.
That's hetero couple 101.
There you go.
Or the conversation goes far enough and you're like, oh, you're already pregnant. Fuck.
So it's good. It's real good. You're not reading this, are you?
Do I read comics?
I need to give you these issues. You're gonna like it.
Is it on your Comixology subscription?
No, I don't have digital for this for some weird reason. I know. So the other one I wanted to mention, I just thought of, they did bring back the Watchmen stuff, the Doomsday Clock, and the second issue came out. And I will tell you that even though it's still pretty rooted in the Watchmen world, they do finally really properly bleed into the DC universe in this.
So and they're still trying to make Dr. Manhattan as like the ultimate bad guy?
No, that's not what they're doing. So the Watchmen people, Ozymandias, a character who is being, what's his name?
Rorschach?
Rorschach, yeah. So there's a new Rorschach, basically.
Because the old one's still blown up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then there's the Mime and the Mimic, or the Mime and somebody. I don't know. They're based on Punch and Judy. They're Charlton characters, but they're repurposed. Anyway, okay. They're there as well on DC's, you know, in DC's universe trying to find Dr. Manhattan so that they can have him come back to their world and set things right.
So this is interesting. So they're basically taking the Watchmen as they were at the end of the book.
They jump forward like 7 years or something.
Right, but they're not like trying to retcon like Rorschach being back the comedian being back.
Correct.
Right? The people that were... Kinda. No.
There's a thing with a comedian.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're not, I don't know what they're retconning or it's just a whatever, but it is interesting. Geoff Johns is doing his best to be faithful to the Watchmen books, sort of continue the tradition, blend it into DC, and probably tell some kind of bigger story. So it is kind of good.
And not have Alan Moore show up on his doorstep, basically.
Alan Moore is like shuffled off to some other plane at this point.
Leaving a flaming bag of Alan Moore shit on
his snake god, his snake puppet god,
something just, like that.
Bite him or something. Anyway, those are probably if you're going to pick three books out of DC right now to read, those are the ones that I at least am enjoying. Now, Marvel's been doing some things I don't know as much about because I'm not caught up.
That's why I put some extra ones in here because I figured when we all sit down and do a deep dive on comics, you guys will take up more time with DC and the independent scene.
It's like Marvel's not doing good stuff.
Marvel is doing some good stuff.
They're doing some really good stuff.
When does the C.B. Sobolski stuff start?
I don't know.
When does the era of C.B.
and Ron Richards.
And the end of... Wait, Ron's over there now?
Yep.
So he went from Image and then wrapped that up and now he went over to...
He took about a year in between, probably had an NDA and then worked for Marvel now.
As what? Same roles? No, like a media...
No, it's like digital sales or something.
Okay.
No, it's digital media marketing or something like that. Yeah.
So it's kind of similar to what he was doing in Image. He was doing like a media thing.
Sobolski, I don't know. He's the new editor, not editor in chief. Is he editor in chief?
Yeah, he's the new ESC.
He's taken over. So.
But like, you know, like they have their whole creative summit and that's kind of like the beginning. So I wonder like when the storyline and plots of like Alonzo's era come to an end and when CB's stuff starts.
Probably
in
the next few months.
Up.
It may even time out with the way when Bendis is leaving. What you'll really know is the new Sobolski era is when we have a new writer who comes forward who is from Japan. And it's taken all of the new the books. That's when you'll know.
Will it be a better name than what CB's original
I don't know.
Name was?
That's such a dumb joke, but it made me laugh. So yes, there's a lot of stuff going on that is sort of wrapping up, I think, some of the stuff with the X-Men, redoing new things with the X-Men. I mean...
Well, it'll be interesting to see because X-Men Blue, there is some possible chatter that X-Men Blue is going to end.
It makes sense in some ways.
This Cross Time Caper storyline is starting to reach its probably within the next couple issues some sort of conclusion because the big reveal in the newest issue is remember when they went back in time and saw themselves? Yeah. They've gone back to that and that's what this whole thing is.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Really? So
they're undoing that whole idea that they can't leave or they can't. That.
Well, because they finally, after hopping to a couple of different periods of time where they've basically been this like vilified entity, like I had mentioned in the last time we were here, where they had this big like the founder's statue and they had taken over a company and basically like the Days of Future Past timeline was because of them. Yeah, they finally made their way back to their time and found the X-Men who had killed Quicksilver and possibly Scarlet Witch during like the big first battle with the Brotherhood with Magneto, mm-hmm. which was the point in time where Magneto gets killed. So they go back to the X-Mansion and surprise, guess who's back? The future Brotherhood. With Zorna and the crazy Ice Hulk and like all of those people from Battle of the Atom.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
They slipped into that place because it was vacant and took over those roles.
All right.
And like shapeshifted or appeared as Xavier and the original five. And that's why all this stuff is being fucked up is because they're now... So that they're not... They're still missing from their original time.
Uh-huh.
They were just being replaced at that point. So it wouldn't surprise me. It's actually been a really kind of fun story. Having the one-offs where they've been in different time periods and with different teams was really kind of interesting and intriguing. And it'll be kind of fun to see how they end it and if that means that they're going to put them back in their place and leave them be. which will, I'm sure, be interesting when Jean Grey is dead or alive. I'm not quite sure.
Like, how is that, like once they're back where they're supposed to be, assuming they retain all the knowledge they've gained, how is that going to affect the current timeline?
Well, that, and I mean, Angel has fire wings.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's a whole weird thing that they'd have
to
kind of...
unfuck this situation.
Yeah. And I mean, technically, Jean Grey's, the young Jean Grey is dead right now, although she's part of this cross-time caper, so...
She's the Schrodinger's Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what book you're reading, she's either dead or alive.
Right.
Speaking of Phoenix Resurrection.
Right.
It's been... Honestly, it's so much fan service.
It is.
But it's kind of adorable at the same point. And it kind of kicked me in a little bit when... The first issue came out and everybody's like, she's alive and they brought back this person and this person. How are all these people alive? And I'm like, do y'all not realize she's not alive? Like, every person that she's interacting with is dead.
Is dead, yeah.
Her parents, Annie, who is her childhood friend, who when she manifested her power, she's the one that got hit by the car. They've had multiple men in there.
Scott.
Scott was the big thing at the
end.
Then they went a step further, and they have like a different version of Magneto in the
and he keeps
town
flicking in and out of both.
Yeah,
he flickered in and out. But the thing is, like, I can see them being able to explain that being the actual Magneto, because in X-Men Blue, he dies. Like, he kind of, because the timeline is being fucked with, he disappears from existence. So I can see that being like, I could see the conceit crossing over.
I want clone Joseph.
Oh, God.
Long-haired clone young Magneto.
Oh, man.
Yes. I loved when she was talking to Jamie, and she's like, it seems like you're in 10 places at once. I was like, come on, dialogue. And then if you have caught up with episode 3, because I think this is the 1 week they take off, and then they're going to come back with two more issues, Gateway makes an appearance.
Oh. Yep.
Logan is in there.
It was like, it was Patch.
As Patch.
Yeah. It was like, what, his mechanic?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, come on. It's so like her history. And like, it may not be, the first three issues may not be like, oh my God, setting the world ablaze and like amazingness. But for Phoenix fans, for Jean Grey fans, this like series so far has been fantastic.
The build is really good for it. Like,
and now the Phoenix is there. She's like,
yeah,
we need to talk.
This is all Phoenix foreplay at this point, really.
Pretty much.
It
yeah.
is.
That's actually, I like that.
So we have three issues in, they take a week off, then we get the last two, and Jean Grey 11 will be the end of Jean Grey's solo series with Hopeless writing it. Hopeless is doing a great job. And apparently has a top
series.
Secret project that he's working with Marvel that's yet to be announced. I'm excited to see what he does with it. Then we'll get X-Men Red, which apparently the advanced copy has already gone out to retailers because someone we may or may not know may or may not have read it and posted about it in Jean Grey group. He's like, so I'm about to read X-Men Red number 1. And I'm like, fuck you. But he said that I didn't want to be spoiled. But from what he said, he said it was a really good story, and it makes sense as to why she's back and why this book exists. So we'll see how that goes.
So they also brought another big 90s and previous eras character back in Guardians. They brought back Adam Warlock.
Yep.
Again. Yeah, again.
We had him back in the DNA stuff.
No, yeah, no. He's not been gone that long. But yeah, they brought him back, and they ended the series.
Yeah. And they also announced Guardians Volume 3, the movie, will be out in 2020.
Oh,
that was like in the last day or two.
That's interesting.
So they officially,
So it's not bad. And I actually want to go back and read this whole run because the art's great and the story's been really good. And they're going to go right into kind of like another Infinity Watch Guardian gems.
Because
well,
they've started dispersing the gems, and the gems are going to be
the
on
rocks.
Earth.
They call them gems? They're not gems.
No, they're the
stones.
Infinity Stones.
Infinity Stones.
The size
yeah.
of a fucking mountain.
Yeah. So
well, one of them is. I don't think they all are.
Right, no. Like Power Stone is.
But
like,
the power, yeah, it's they like they've massive. Changed all of this stuff and the
because they haven't been around since Secret War, right? They all dispersed or they all disappeared.
Bendis
out of existence.
Had something with the Gauntlet, maybe at one point. Oh, but yeah, Secret War. Yeah,
I think Secret
so.
War
yeah.
was like the last time you had seen any That's Infinity right. Stones.
But now Logan has one. A Super Skrull has one.
Star Lord has one.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel. Like they told you now who possesses all six. So it's a matter of, like, it's the,
I'm going to assume Warlock has one.
Probably.
No, but I think that's the whole point, is that he's going to eventually get the Soul Stone again.
Yeah.
You have to. It's out of Warlock.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's going to be with the Infinity Quest, I think, is what's coming out. There's the countdown to Infinity Quest. It was supposed to keep going with Guardians of the Galaxy 151, and then they canceled that and put this new Infinity.
Well, because 151 was just way too alcoholic. It was getting really potent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good for cooking, but
it's delightful. It's delightful in punch.
I heard they're also bringing back Exiles.
Yes. With a bunch of random, like, Miss Marvel.
Nick Fury, old Nick Fury, is going to be like the guy the putting nameless, the team together. However he ended up after the whole... What was the storyline where he shot the Watcher?
Oh, Original Sin.
Original Sin.
Yeah, that's coming. I'm kind of like, okay.
Weird little, like, cartoon
Wolverine.
Yeah.
That's like the most bizarre. Like, I don't care about any other character, but it's like the most bizarre thing. Like, it's this tiny little, like...
Scotty Young's
It's like Batmite Wolverine.
No. It's similar to that, but it's like, it's not as cute.
Oh, okay.
And of course, Blink.
And Blink.
Blink has nothing else to do besides be on the X-Files.
But it's sexy Blink with her booby top.
Of course it is.
It's always sexy Blink. Have you seen her Age of Apocalypse?
Well, tiny outfit. But they completely revamped her costume in Cable 151, I think it was.
It's always 151, man.
It's either 150 or 151, but she's playing a whole thing with their...
What is that again?
Bacardi?
That's what it was. I can remember. I knew it was something.
151 proof?
Yeah, no, I know it. Trust me.
Oh.
I've had that many times.
It's delicious. Rogue and Gambit have a mini series, which the first issue was kind of cute.
Yeah, I heard mixed things. So
I thought it was cute. I enjoyed it. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm fine with these little 5-issue, you know, limited series, because they're not going to support sales for, you know, 100 issues. So
And I wonder what's the better method for them business wise to not announce on the outset that it's a mini series or a limited series and to just say, hey, it's a new series, and then wrap it, or to be like, no, this is a limited run, and then everybody will just be like, oh, I'll just wait for the trade to come out when it's done.
Well, I think if you announce that it's a limited, you either are going to have the people that are going to wait for a trade no matter what, or you potentially have the ability to get really good sales and then say, you know what? We can do another run for this, and we can, you know, I would rather them have an endpoint and then have to and then do another storyline and extend, rather than say, okay, we're going to do this, and then all of a sudden go, you know what? We're canceling it and maybe not be able to get to a good conclusion. Thankfully, books like Iceman, Cena has enough time that he knows two more issues, because it ends in March. You know, he'll have time to wrap up what he's working on. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a bunch of little 5-issue. Legion's getting a 5-issue. Rogue and Gambit. So it's nice to have a story with these two, and we'll see how it goes. Oh, and real quick, one other thing I want to mention in Marvel: Astonishing X-Men.
That was good.
They wrapped up Life of X.
That was really good.
Which was really good. Which you're caught up on?
We're spoiling stuff. The last issue I read was where Xavier reveals that he's in the body of Phantom X.
Yes, that's the end of Life of X. That was the last issue.
Yep.
He's back.
Yep. Yes.
Ish.
So they had this whole thing on the astral plane. It was Xavier versus the Shadow King. And they had been doing this whole like back and forth. And he ends up having the X-Men, you know, the Astonishing X-Men team. So it's Phantom X, Rogue, Gambit, Mystique, Old Man Logan, and I feel like there's a sixth person that went in there.
Archangel, Angel, Bishop.
I think Archangel, Bishop, and Psylocke were all outside. So it might have just been the 5 of them, because it was 2, 2, and 1. So it was 5. And then at the end of it, basically everybody kind of goes back to the physical realm, and there's this whole conversation that goes on in dialogue boxes, so you're not quite sure who's being talked about or talked to. And it's this whole thing of like Phantom X basically saying that it's his time to actually be able to be a hero, to not have to like be, you know, whatever. And then it's Xavier takes over his body. So now we have this bald dude in a Phantom X outfit that's like, I'm Xavier, but call me X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're in the second second storyline where he may not be as benevolent and you know, good as possible Xavier.
Because does he still have his psychic powers? Because I wonder, like, that can't be personality-based. Like, I would imagine when he takes over the body of Phantom X, he has Phantom X's powers instead of Xavier's.
I believe so. I think you're right.
He's doing a lot of things that nobody really can quite understand. He managed to, like, there was this crazy, like, brain-boggling, like, dust, and he just kind of balled it up into a little green ball and, like, was getting it out of London. Like, he's doing lots of shit that's just kind of, like...
That was
you're
that was
Xavier.
It's like that was neither person's power.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. That's it's a whole other.
So
game.
This is the new story.
That yeah, this is because you had Life of X, and now it's A Man Called X. Is the
second
story.
I will say of all the X books, this is the one I'm most interested in. Hmm. It's just something very. It feels like a throwback to the Uncanny X Force / Morrison's X Men with. Better writing than I think all the other X books have.
So Soul's doing a good job.
Like,
so at the end of this, he's going to put on a weird metal helmet and call himself Zorn.
Probably. Oh. The origin of Zorn, yeah.
A man called Zorn.
But to kick it off, they've now brought back Proteus.
Interesting. Oh.
That nice. So in all of this like chaos and all of that, it's dealing with the Shadow King. Because now the Shadow King is dead. This whole like big green sun and like it just. Yeah, it's this
X-Men
whole crazy fucked up thing. It's great. It's Astonishing has been really, really good.
Is there any other Marvel books you want to mention? Thanos, maybe?
I do want to talk about Thanos, only because this current run is called Thanos Wins, and he ends up getting basically kidnapped by a Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider?
Word.
No.
Ghost Rider?
No, yes.
He gets kidnapped. His plot gets kidnapped by a ghostwriter.
Oh. No.
But this ghostwriter is from the future.
Oh, is it ghostwriter from Guardians of the Galaxy original?
No.
Oh, it should have been.
It is a sassy ass, loudmouth ghostwriter who has a piece of the time stone and takes him into the future. He is basically the herald of Thanos. And kidnaps Thanos in current time, quote unquote current time, and takes him to the far future where Thanos has won. Huh. And then we get to find out that what Thanos' real name is.
Yeah, I heard.
That's dumb though.
It was Dion.
Which if you named you'd go with Thanos too.
But the funny part is that like it was the only reason it was done was because if you were in the like if nobody but you, like the doctor. It's like the name of the doctor. If nobody else, if you were going to prove to yourself that your far future self was going to, you're going to do that, say that one thing.
Got it.
That you know.
Yep.
That only you know.
Okay.
And that was calling him his real name or what his intended name was.
That's kind of funny then. Okay.
I think
my story for Thanos had a hard stop at the end of Annihilation.
Yeah.
Like that was when my Thanos died. And everything after that has not been my
Thanos.
You mean
you haven't read any of the new Jim Starlin Thanos that he's now walking away from?
No, I haven't.
This Thanos book has been really good.
Lemire's version before this was not bad, actually. He fought Thane and all that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Thane. That whole concept of Thane.
I didn't love the Thane part of it.
I don't care about Thane, but I like the way he wrote Thanos.
Well, no. But I mean, like, even that storyline with Thane was kind of like, whatever. Although Thanos dying, like, being on death's door was... For the character development for that piece of it, but the whole story was kind of... Although, who's it? Nebula and who is the big wild-haired
champion.
Guy? Champion. Having sex on the ship while they were waiting.
So great.
It was hysterical and awkward. It was so good.
Do you remember the champion?
I do.
Yeah.
One of the elders of the universe. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
They were sitting on the spaceship because they had to go to like right on the edge of a black hole with... It was this whole big fucking thing.
It's very romantic.
And they were just like, they were waiting. Giant and they hole. Were like,
got some time to kill.
Pretty much.
Time dilation.
You want to recharge?
It was so awkward and so hysterical. It was great. But yeah, so those are like my big Marvel books.
I read the first issue of Avengers No Surrender.
It was interesting.
Dan told me was going to be really amazing and exciting. No, I didn't love it. I feel more and more alienated from Marvel, not because they're diversified and all that, not at all. The regression away from that is why I'm just losing interest.
They're kind of like putting everything back to the way it
pretty
was.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And or trying to do a little bit of both, and I'm fine with that in some way, but just the Captain America series has been pretty good. It's very just standalone, one-off, you know, Steve Cap running around doing things.
But he's back in ice.
Well, whatever. He's back in ice. We'll see what that is.
This is the first time it hasn't been a standalone. This is like the beginning of like a... I mean, I know it all plays into his like road trip across America.
Yeah.
But everything has been like an encapsulated story.
Wait, is he walking? Yeah. Like, is he walking?
No, he's on a motorcycle.
Is Straczynski writing this?
No, God, no. No, it's Mark Waid. And actually, some people are speculating that
it's not Mark
Waid. It's not Mark. It's the artist. Oh, gosh.
I don't remember his
name. Oh, my God. He's great. Somni. Chris Somni. And he's like ghostwriting. I mean, ghostwriting? He's he's doing it like Marvel style, kind of, you know.
Anytime Ghost Rider is mentioned, it's gonna be said. All right.
Anyway, so I don't know, I like that book, but a lot of Marvel I just don't. I mean, I'm totally back to, I haven't read any of these X books except Astonishing. I'm one behind, so yeah, I just don't care as much. It's finally happening.
Yep.
It's all happening.
It's okay.
That's fine. You take DC. I'll take Marvel.
Bendis is coming over. It's very likely Hickman's going to come over to DC and maybe do a, what's the, Teen Titans?
Realize Bendis had some health troubles recently.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that was like why his whole transfer over to DC got delayed and why like his first issue is going to be a backup story in the Justice League.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They announced that he's taking over Action Comics.
It was a backup story. I think it was a Justice League story. I thought maybe in the back of Action Comics.
No, I think I'm pretty sure I saw an article that said that he's going to take over Superman in Action Comics.
Try to solve Superman like everybody else fails to do.
Right, but his like debut story is like a backup story. That's
probably going to happen. But yeah, I think the article was that like his, because nobody knew what book he was going to be writing.
Right.
But I think that's, if I'm not mistaken, that's what I read, was that he was going to be writing Superman in Action Comics.
Yeah.
So not like the Superman standalone.
I don't know.
So we'll see. But if you have comics that you have been excited to read and talk about and you want to share them with us, go on our Facebook page, go on our social media stuff. Tell us what you think of your favorite comics. We really mean it. It does make a difference. We do see it. And we want to know what you think about that and
our
show.
What was your pick of the week?
We'll have that for our Patreons. the last segment we do is what is giving us life. We're going to keep this somewhat abbreviated, but we're going around the room. We're going to go counterclockwise and have Pat start us out. What's giving you life? What's your one up for the week?
I was doing music, so I didn't have to go first.
Oh, all right. We can go the other way. BJ.
A little surprise series that popped up on Netflix that I didn't realize was happening. Devilman Crybaby. Devilman is an old anime from like 1970s, 1980s era.
I saw the trailer for that on Netflix.
Along the lines of Cutie Honey and all that sort of
honey.
All that sort of stuff.
Honey.
It's really good. It the style harks back to that original sort of 70s style anime. The story is based 100% off the original manga. It is not for the faint of heart. People are becoming demons. Things are being ripped off. Things are becoming demon mouths and ripping other things off. It is.
It'll bite you.
It's very standalone. Which I like, so it doesn't look like there's going to be another season. But it's really, really good. The dub actually is pretty good. I'm a subtitles purist, but the dub's really good. So Devilman Crybaby, if you're looking for an anime series to check out, Netflix has done well with this one.
Jeff, what is giving you life?
Oh, this week. Golly jeepers, that's a tough one. I have to probably say something I never watched at all while it was airing, but now Netflix has gotten the whole run of it, is Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld.
I heard good things.
Yeah, I guess it was like a Crackle exclusive for a long time, but now Netflix has like compiled all the episodes together, and I wasn't a big fan of Seinfeld, but it's the fact that he has other comedians on there besides just being him, that's actually really good. And it's funny, and like the episodes are short. Like maybe like 15, 20 minute tops. Gotta
keep that short attention span.
Yeah, and it's good. They have like a really like wide variety of people. They had like, I think the opening episode was Jim Carrey, but already settled into his crazy kind of post-celebrity career. But then they had like Chris Rock and Trevor Noah, like right after he got picked as the Daily Show host.
But yeah, it's good. And you can watch the whole thing on Netflix.
Nice.
Eric. Even though I saw it a bit ago, the soundtrack to The Greatest Showman is still giving me life. I'm still trying to compile who I think would make the best pop cover version of the entire soundtrack. And think that's what it should be doing. Since how Kesha did an amazing cover of This Is Me.
Yeah.
The Golden Globe winning song, This Is Me.
Nice. Oh, did that win?
Yeah, it won.
Oh, okay.
Pat, what about you?
Was that Up Against the Star?
Yes.
Mariah Carey's Golden Globe nominated number?
Yes.
Sorry. I love Mariah. Shut up. I am probably going to have to go to the ABC lineup for my one-up for this month. Fresh Off the Boat, if you haven't watched it, I know I've talked about it before. I feel like at some point in time, I just end up reusing stuff like at the same time every year. But there have been so many good things. They did an amazing coming out episode back, I want to say it was in October. And they're tackling different issues and different things in a really fresh and new way, because you have such a diverse cast, because you have an Asian family at the center of it. There's a lot that just really never gets done or hasn't been done before, and they have done some really great things. If you haven't watched it, I highly, highly recommend it. And every week it's chock full of laughs. So I recommend Fresh Off the Boat.
So I will talk about the YouTube channel that I've been enjoying called Northern Brewing TV.
Is it hosted by Logan Paul?
Is that who it is?
No.
Oh, is that the...
Pretty sure he should be nowhere near a YouTube channel ever again.
Who's that? Logan Paul's the...
That's the guy who had the Japanese suicide forest.
Ooh.
Yeah, that guy.
Ooh. Dumbass extraordinaire.
He filmed a body hanging in the forest.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's awful. Oh, that's right. No, so this is a homebrew company that I have been patronizing and buying materials from to make my own my own special beer, whatever. But I've been really enjoying the production they've put into making how-tos. Yeah, they're pitching their products. I mean, that's their business. But they're entertaining. They did a thing with Will Wheaton a few years ago. It was pretty good that I've discovered. And then their homebrew, like essentials, like starter kit stuff, which is what I'm doing. Their how-tos are really good and pretty entertaining. So I think if you're interested in homebrew, you don't want to go out and shell out any money, but you just want to kind of watch the process and learn about it, you could do a lot worse. It's Northern Brewer or Northern Brewing TV. If you just do Northern Brew, you'll find them.
What are you going to call your beer?
The current one I am doing is an amber made with hurricane water. So it is probably going to be something like hurricane water tea, or I don't know. I had a few things. Not like I'm trying to come up with whatever precious names, and I'm not doing labels or anything crazy. I got to see if it even turns out right now.
It will be Warmpus.
No, it will not be Warmpus.
Pit ale.
No, I'm not doing that either. It's disgusting. but I have already ordered my second kit. It should be here soon. Again, if the first one turns out, and that will be a Dunkel. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's fun. It's kind of crazy when you're doing it. It's very stressful because lots of things can go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And at any stage. And then you've wasted, you know, however much time and materials. And it's just, you know. But so far.
If somebody pees in it.
That might affect it.
And, you know, that pee comes to room temperature or maybe slightly higher. Then it might be warm.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So, yeah, please go check us out on social media. We do want to know what you think. Don't forget about dragbeat.com. Sign up very soon.
One more time. That's dragracebeat.com. dragracebeat.com.
And look forward to some of the cool all-star content you, I think, and Oral are going to do your...
We're going to go back to weekly all-stars reviews.
It could be fun.
I don't know why we do this to ourselves, but it's fun.
It'll be fun. But yeah, and let us know. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Moist.